This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Scotty, you ready?
Curdy B, I'm ready to laugh and laugh and laugh.
Peruvian soccer player Osama bin Laden has some uniquely named siblings.
Prove it. We're going to blow this one out on another beautiful episode. Get your kicks with bananas.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to the Bananas Podcast, a podcast about strange news and storytelling hosted by none other than myself, Kerr Brownoler.
And I'm Banana Boy number two, Scotty Landis. Thank you for listening to this sweet little podcast. It's the silliest little podcast there ever was. We had listeners message us, Kurt, from the Faroe Islands.
Whoa.
Pretty good. Spain, South Africa, two different people from South Africa, Venezuela, Finland, Norway, more in Sweden. So hey to our international bananimals. If you haven't heard us say your wonderful country. Also, the Upper Peninsula, we mentioned them an episode or two ago. 10 people were like, this is so cool that you even said Upper Peninsula on a podcast. So we'll come up there one day. We'll canoe with you or whatever you guys do up there.
Oh, you know what? I mean, what they used to do in the 90s, at least, when I was 12, we would go to the UP and go to the town dump and feed black bears hot dogs out of our hands.
One of the greatest things a child can do.
Like baby, like bear cubs. And you're handing a hot dog. I mean, like, so many things are wrong with it.
Yeah.
On so many levels.
Yeah, but so
right. I think maybe I was even 10, being like, this is, well, we're really communing with nature.
Core memory for you. Also, the bears loved it. The kids loved it. Until somebody gets maimed or eaten, it's all really fun.
Yeah, the third day it happens, someone gets maimed.
Yeah, man. Also, it's the start. I know this isn't a big deal for our listeners, but it is the start of Major League Baseball season in America.
Yes,
baby. It's
been
on for a week. And I encourage all of you, even people that hate sports.
Yeah.
If you're at work or you're at home or you're not driving, just look on YouTube. There was a very bad band called Creed that sold tens of millions of albums. And as they broke up, their lead singer, Scott Stapp, one of the strangest people to ever live, from Florida, unsurprisingly. Mm-hmm. In 2010, he recorded a song for the Florida Marlins to cheer the team on, but it really was probably just a cash grab. And every year at the start of baseball, I revisit the song, Marlins Will Soar. And it is, you know, like Marlins do, just swordfish going through the sky, winged migration. Just, if you've never heard it, it's only about 2 minutes long. Power chord rock about, he clearly knows nothing about baseball. He clearly just Googled baseball words and...
Oh, wow.
The Marlins Will Soar by Scott Stapp is worth you pausing bananas and listening to for 2 minutes. It's terrible. It's a yearly tradition in the Banana Boy 2 household. And I just did it this morning before I recorded and was cry laughing.
Oh, I love that so much. And you know what I do think we can do, Scotty?
What's that?
Is I think we can tease Bananas Fest.
Bananas Fest.
Bananas Fest, folks.
It's looking very likely.
It's very, very, I'm just saying.
We're on the verge of a major yes.
Well, I think we have the major yes. I think it's mm-hmm. pretty much, well, we're having a meeting in about an hour. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, September 7th.
Think about it.
Denver. The Denver, middle of Colorado. The country. Mm-hmm. Middle of the country. I think almost every airport in America, other than the ones in New England,
yeah.
have a direct flight to Denver.
That's right.
You can get a direct flight to Denver for anything. And you're going to want to be there the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Because
but on one of the days, we're doing Bananas Fest. The first ever Bananas Fest, where it's just going to be banana stuff,
all
podcast,
day,
comics, maybe bands, silly things from the Banana Boys all day long, just wandering around. We're taking over a whole square outside. I mean, please let it be sunny at the first one. And we're just going to go willy-nilly in the middle of America.
Yeah, there's nothing official yet, so we can't say, but just like look at your calendar. Pencil
your calendar.
It in. Pencil in September 7th.
Yeah, no pen. Pencil in September 7th. Write Bananas Fest ? And then we'll let you know when it's official, because we're very excited about this.
It's,
something big and dumb for your
yeah, I know.
Socials.
We've been needing something new and big, and this is it. This is it.
And we're going to do the Splitty at the City this year in Denver during Bananas Fest. So,
I mean, we're combining events now. It's beautiful. Yeah.
This is just humongous. If you don't live in Southern California and you've wanted to do a downhill 1K light jog, more like a walk, while we play Who Let the Dogs Out and Just as Bananas and then end up at a bar, boy, Denver, have we got a surprise for you. Bananas Fest, Splitty in the City 3. Curdy B, I bet there's a long list of things you'd like to do now with your time, now that the days are longer and the weather is warmer, and it's probably safe for me to assume that that list does not include going to the grocery store.
And with Factor, folks, you can keep it that way. Factor delivers fresh, never frozen meals right to your front door. Each week, you'll choose from a menu of 35 options, and every meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes. We have eaten Factor, and we are both big, huge fans.
We are.
It's like crazy how actually good tasting it is, and you can get it in whatever way you want it. Like if you want like a low calorie, super healthy one, you can get that. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a keto one, you can get that. If you want to get mm-hmm. a vegetarian one, you can get that. If you're trying to eat right, or if you just don't like, you want to be able to like once a week, 3 times a week, not have to make yourself lunch. It's perfect for that.
I woke up this morning. I drank their banana and chocolate protein shake. I've been doing the wellness shots that come with the meals. It's the best food delivery we've ever had. Head to factormeals.com/bananas50 and use code bananas50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box.
That's a good deal.
That's a good deal. That's bananas50 at factormeals.com/bananas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Scotty, you know what I'm excited about?
Tell me.
I'm excited to get my stoke back because I have not been surfing this winter. Uh-huh. And I am excited to just get out in the sun and go surfing in Southern California. I'm ready to get my stoke back. I'm very excited.
If you're feeling the itch to get outside, you're going to need hydration that's going to keep up with you, Curdy B. And with 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, a single stick of Liquid IV makes ordinary hydration extraordinary.
Oh, man. I think everybody knows that we love Liquid IV.
We love it so much.
They just sent us some energy. I got an energy mm-hmm. one mm-hmm. and I got a no sugar one, and I can't decide which I like better. You know, the energy Liquid IV is like, I have it every single day. I love
lemon,
it
lime,
so much.
Raspberry, melon, green grape, you name it. It's the number one powdered hydration brand in America. We drink it all the time. I drink one a day. I love it. It is one of our very favorite sponsors because it really works.
Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BANANAS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BANANAS at liquidiv.com. I'm so excited. Do you want to hear about Osama bin Laden?
Bin Laden? Yeah. I'm a huge soccer fan. I would love to hear about this Peruvian guy.
I can't believe you haven't heard about this yet.
Me neither, yeah.
This was sent in by the wonderful Marie K. Artist on
Fun.
Instagram.
Thanks.
Thank you, Marie. This was originally posted actually to Depths of Wikipedia, which, as you know, I love that Instagram account.
It's the best.
And
do we
it
know
is
who
just,
runs that, Kurt? Do we know who runs Depths of Wikipedia?
I know it's a woman.
Let's
we should
her.
Have her on.
Let's get her.
If anybody knows or has contact info for the person who runs Depths of Wikipedia, I would
we
deeply
would
love
to have,
her.
Her or them on. We're not sure.
We don't know. All right. So there is, okay, it's in this Spanish name, this is from the Wikipedia. There is an article which has some quotes, but it's mostly about other soccer players, which is weird. In this Spanish name, the first or paternal surname is Jimenez, and the second or maternal family name is Lopez. So Osama bin Laden Jimenez Lopez.
Beautiful name.
So yeah, bin Laden is named after Osama bin Laden.
Okay,
the difference
cool.
in spelling is due to the letters B and V being pronounced the same in Spanish. Bin Laden has a brother named Saddam Hussein.
Okay, I'm sensing a theme here.
The Spanish spelling of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. Additionally, and then I have two different pieces of information here.
Okay.
One piece of information says he also has a sister named Georgia Bush.
Okay. One of the Bush daughters, right? Who's
what?
Georgia
no.
Bush? Oh, George Bush is...
It's
okay.
just George Bush.
George Bush, but Georgia. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So, additionally, his father planned on naming his third child George Bush, but could not since they turned out to be female. So, I do believe in another image from a Wikipedia grab, I've seen it, that his sister is named Georgia Bush. I Googled it, couldn't find out if his sister is Georgia Bush. And so then, in a quote from him on Marca.com
Seems
by...
Real.
It's by Marca.
Okay. Swinging Marca.
Really looking to see. Yep, it does not seem like there's anyone attributed to this. Mm-hmm. Here's some quotes.
Okay.
My brother's name is Saddam Hussein, and my father wanted to name the third child George Bush, but it was a girl. When Osama bin Laden knocked down the Twin Towers, the name was in the news, and I was born October 7th, 2002.
Sure.
I mean,
makes
what?
Sense.
Yeah. Over a year later,
13 months later, sure,
we got to do it. Quote, there are no other people who call themselves that.
True.
I've been through this situation and it seems normal. My shirt says Osama. I thought about changing my name, but now I am calm. This just seems like a horrible translation of whatever he's saying.
I like the way they talk. It's nice.
The 18-year-old player went on to defend his father's decision to name him after bin Laden. I think my father liked it. I think he did, too.
I bet he did.
I think there is a person called Hitler also in Peru. Jesus saved the world, and there are Jesuses who do harm. Because there is an Osama who killed people, I don't think there has to be a law about the name. It
That's
draws
true.
A lot of attention from what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read, so in Peruvian tradition, it's just very common to name your child after just anybody famous. Like, as long as they're famous, that,
cool.
like, it will bring them, like, good luck. And I don't know if Osama bin Laden, I don't know if his dad was just like, I don't know who Osama bin Laden is.
Yeah. Tony the Tiger. Great name for somebody. I wish I was Tony the Tiger Landis. That'd be a great, I'd be like, what's up? I'm Tony the Tiger. People, oh, my God, it'd be so much
It'd be amazing. I mean, ask
if you
Pepsi
were
Marijuana.
Puffs Brownoler, if you were Cocoa Puffs Brownoler, I don't know why I went all cereals. I guess we're recording in the morning. But if you were Cocoa Puffs, forget
Come on. I would be so much more famous than I am. But yeah, ask Dr. Pepsi Marijuana. She's a doctor.
Doctor, yeah.
And she defends her name all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know who Dr. Pepsi Marijuana is, you look it up. We did cover it on, I don't know, 4 years
I think Chloe Bridges episode, definitely 2020. I think because Chloe was graduating from Columbia around that time, and so was Dr.
Pepsi Marijuana.
Dr. Pepsi Marijuana. That's fine with me. I love a good name.
Are you kidding me? We love... We're the podcast name of names.
I love Peru. Have you been to Peru?
No, but my...
Shocking.
My olives, teacher is Peruvian. And she's amazing. She's like this amazing teacher. And, you know, because Olive goes to a Spanish immersion school. So she's in first grade. But like, so this woman speaks in a Peruvian accent to her all the time. And that's how they teach and everything like that. And Olive is obsessed with Peru. But she says it with like a Peruvian accent. So she's always like, Peru. I can't even do it. Like, in the same way that Olive's always just like, we go to Mexico. And like, it's really, she has a real good accent.
That's great.
It'll serve her well in life. Someday, I think we will go to Peru because Olive has heard so much about it.
It's amazing. I went to Iquitos and Chachapoyas, and I had wonderful adventures going up the Amazon, driving the road to Maria. We went to shoot the show, and so the Road to Maria used to be the way to get to, I think it's called Culop. It's basically a mountain. It was a abandoned civilization. It's very similar, if you've ever seen Machu Picchu. It's basically same timeline, similar buildings, but it was like a fortress in town up there. And these Europeans came in and built gondola system so that you can get up to Culop in like, I don't know, 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Which probably used to take like 6 hours.
You used to have to drive it. And so the drive is called the Road to Maria because there's a little town called Maria. And as you drive, it's like sheer cliffs on the side for a lot of it. Up, sometimes they're like over 1,000 feet. And I mean, these are dirt roads. These are stone roads.
Yeah.
So not paved at all. And the locals just gun it on motorcycles, but like big, like dump trucks will come around the corner full speed. It's single lane in a lot of places. So of course we drove it. We drove it in a stick shift truck. Adam drove. He was okay at stick. He wasn't great, and then it was nuts. And our whole thing was we were going to drive the Road to Maria and go to the town Maria where it used to have bustling tourism.
Uh-huh.
And all of these towns are sort of like in disrepair because nobody has to drive that way anymore to go to Culop. So we decided we were going to drive an ice cream truck there and deliver ice cream to all the children of Maria. And we did. And the kids were great. They came running out and it was so fun to do. But on the morning we were going to drive the Road to Maria, and when I say like a sheer cliff, I mean like no railings. It was really intense. And,
wow.
And we were in an 18-passenger van with, and I'm not kidding for dramatic effect, bald tires. Like the outside tires were treadless. And then because I was the show creator with Adam, we went with, and Andres from Workaholics was also our guest for this episode. We got picked up early to go kind of scout it out. And the guy who picked us up driving us to the Road to Maria. So just driving on a regular road from our hotel to the, as we start going up the mountain, crashed the car on the side road.
No. What?
So one of our drivers was, there were these huge either puddles in the middle of the road that were like 2 feet deep, so you had to go around them, or there were these big kind of like mound. This is like really a pretty remote area. And there were these huge like speed humps that were made out of like mud and stone. And so our guy who picked us up, we're just chatting. He speaks only Spanish. We speak broken Spanish, but like enough to communicate and say, you know, good morning and thank you and all that stuff. And about 5 minutes into our drive, he went off the road and we were in a ditch sideways.
You joking? Just one you, of our, you and the DP?
Me, Anders, Adam, and the driver.
Oh my God.
So the 18-passenger vans that were behind us with the production equipment are about 10 minutes behind us. And when they got there, our little car that he's transporting, this is a guy that's going to be driving this on the Road to Maria all day, crashed it into a ditch. So the driver's side tires, front and back, were off the ground. And we were stuck in a grassy, muddy ditch until we were able to like force the car, get out and push the car out.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
Day one. So
did you shoot that? Was it were you able to shoot it?
No, because we were just being transported. It wasn't like part of the show. We weren't mic'd up, or they weren't mic'd up.
Yeah.
And Adam's looking at me like, are we really about to do this? Because you know, you think you have like a safety team.
Yeah, yeah.
we had no safety team. The best, and so we recorded, we drove the road to Maria four times that day, all the way to Maria, gave the kids ice cream all the way back so we could get more footage, then again, and then two of the four times, Adam forgot to take the parking brake off the stick shift ice cream truck, and so he was driving on this road just grinding the brakes.
So wait, so, like, he drove it in an ice cream truck the whole way.
Four times. By the fourth time, we were so comfortable with it. But it was, I don't really get scared. I'm not afraid of heights, anything like that. I'm not afraid of. I'm not afraid of, you know, just snakes or whatever. I'm not afraid of any of that crap. But after we crashed that car, and then once I saw what the road was that we were going to be driving on, and once I saw the bald tires on the 18 passenger van that I would be riding in, and it was raining, I mean, I was like, this might be it. I seriously kind of was making peace with the fact, I was like, boy, we at every step of the way, we should have said hell no, and instead we just shot it for a 7-minute Quibi series. For the dumbest reason, literally a failed phone app. We almost all died.
That it was for Quibi. I forgot that it was for Quibi. That's the best part right at the end. Imagine that. We would have to put it on your tombstone. Died for Quibi.
Yeah. Quibi creator Scotty Landis dead from falling off the road to Maria for no reason at all. It was nuts, man. It was the only time I've ever sort of really... people are always like, have you ever had a near-death experience? I'm like, yeah, for 9 hours one day, back and forth and back and forth, where you're like, God. And we had to keep telling the drivers of the 18 Pass, slow down, because they were local guys that were used to bombing it.
Yeah.
And like, it got to the point where we were yelling, slow down. And they were like, okay. And then they would speed it back up to like 50. And you're like, what the fuck?
Wow, that's
But
so
I made
crazy.
It. I didn't die.
Nice work. Congratulations. Give me another story. Scotty, I think you know that from here on out, you can admit to me, you will look back on your life as having two phases, BD and AD. BD, before Davey Matt, is gloomy, stressful, and full of lost dreams and packages, but life AD, after Davey Matt, is sunny, secure, and quite literally filled with goodness from packages that you have ordered online. And if you aren't measuring your life this way, or you're sick of your packages getting stolen, it is time for Davey Matt.
The Davey Matt Delivery Locker is a new patented device that stops porch pirates in their tracks. This thing is incredible. The Davey Matt transforms from a plush doormat to a secure lockbox in less than 5 seconds.
It's cool.
It is so cool. And since it was created by a duo, an engineer and interior designer, it looks modern, it looks cool, it's clean on your front porch. The Davey Matt isn't just for small packages. With a footprint of 26 inches by 18 inches, the Davey Matt can accommodate large packages and multiple deliveries.
It's as if you have just a mat in front of your door. And it's maybe like, I don't know, half an inch high or something. And then you're like, I know a package is coming today and people have been stealing packages in my neighborhood. You literally just grab it, pull it up, and it, boom, locks into a metal safe that then your packages can be deposited into and people can't get them out. It has a lock on it. It's really, really cool.
I have it at my back door, and it really works. It looks great. It's so fascinating. Go to their website and check it out for yourself. If you visit DaveyMatt.com and use our promo code, BANANAS, at checkout, you get $50 off your Davey Matt delivery locker. Plus, they'll include a free jute welcome mat so you can always swap out styles. Again, that's DaveyMatt.com, promo code BANANAS, at checkout for $50 off your Davey Matt delivery locker and a free jute welcome mat. This one was sent in by so many beautiful bananimals, but I got it from Amy Guatama Whelan first, and then Olivia Koscheck or Kosick.
What a great name.
And then Keith Ballinger.
All right.
Or Belonger. Massachusetts Library accepts cat pictures to pay for late fees. That's nice.
About
this was
time.
On the CNN Wire, written by that CNN staff.
About
Worcester,
time.
Mass. Not Worcester, Mass. Worcester, Mass. A public library in Massachusetts is accepting cat photos to pay for fees for late returns or lost or damaged books this month. It's part of Worcester's Public Library's March Meowness. Very cute. If you send a photo or even a drawing of any cat, it erases your fines.
That's great.
It's such a good idea.
Yeah.
In the first 5 days of the month, 400 accounts, 400, were cleared using this unique form of currency. The idea started when a library task force noticed a lot of younger patrons had fees dating back to the start of the pandemic, of course, and they didn't want those people to stop using the library because of the fines. So you can still, in the month of March, send a photo, a drawing of any cat if you are in Massachusetts, and they will erase your library fines. Beautiful.
I mean,
simple solution.
I go to the library now a lot, and we've talked about libraries a lot on Bananas, but I walk in there, especially ones like, there's a big one, there's a really big one, like the main branch in downtown Los Angeles is in this gorgeous building. It's gigantic, but even our local, and it's just like magical to be in there because it really feels like, it's sad, but it feels like just a vestige of an America that no longer exists. Mm-hmm. And yet it does. And yet, you know, it's like this institution that is there simply for public use for free. And it's just knowledge. But it's also like 3D printers and computers and CD, like you can get music, you can rent videos. Like, it's so wonderful and I love it so much.
It is.
And even my small little branch, when I walk in there, I'm just like, this place is so cool.
I love librarians. What a,
I do. Man.
And libraries. But I brought this one up too because, Kurt, you are the real star of March Madness this year, because I see you every commercial break during anybody who's watching March Madness basketball. Kurt, how many commercials did you shoot? I've seen at least three.
I mean, we shot 16, but I think I think nine. They made nine, maybe, or I'm in nine.
Wow.
Thank goodness.
Congratulations.
Thank you. They only air during March Madness, but hopefully.
Hey, that's a big deal. You got to remember, man, there are millions of people, millions who want to be in one commercial that are.
I know.
I mean, how many kids are graduating from acting programs this year in 2024 that will never make it on TV even one time? And you're in nine commercials.
It's more than I've ever been in my entire life leading up to this point.
Congratulations. You're the real winner of March Madness this year.
Thank you. I'm very excited. I know I only have, I think, a speaking role in one of them, which I improvised. I got it in there.
I saw the one you speak with JB Smoove. Yeah, I sent you the photo, but I was like, holy shit. And then we've had tons of Bananimals DM us and be like, was that Kurt? It was.
And I'm just in the background of all the other ones, but don't matter to me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, keep it going. That's so great, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, shout out. Shout out to, it was actually a former student who cast me. So shout out to
an improv student?
Yeah.
Damn, look at that. The circle of life.
Yeah, I would say his name, but maybe he doesn't want me to. I don't know.
That's fine. I mean, congratulations. So if you see Curdy B, send us a pic. We'll post. Tag us. We'll put it in our stories on Instagram, The Bananas Podcast on Instagram.
Also, just a reminder, just a yearly reminder, Unexpected Banana, where you find a banana in the wild, what that's good for is for you to put it in your stories and tag us so we can rebroadcast it. But if you just message it to us, it's not, we know that there's bananas.
We see them everywhere we go.
We see bananas all the time. So you don't need to message us when you see a banana. You just need to put it in your stories and tag us so that we can then, you know, repost your account, you know, and share it with the world.
Yeah, we have 45,000 Instagram followers who would just love to see your unexpected bananas.
Exactly. But if you just, you know, put it in a DM, only we see it. It's
That's
sad.
Right.
That unexpected banana goes unseen.
Mm. What a tragedy. What a monster.
It is
a tragedy.
And there's just so many of them.
You want to tease us into a thumbs up situation, Kurt?
I sure do want to tease you into a thumb up situation. Here it is. Mountain lion. Mm. Mountain lion that made school go into lockdown turns out to be fat cat eating a rat.
Oh, man. Okay. That's just so good. Everybody just calm down. Thumbs ups. Kate Mullen is thumbs upping her man, Dan, for making a choice to try tufting rugs.
Right. Thumbs up, Dan.
Thumbs up, Dan.
Tuft those rugs, bruh.
Tuft them rugs, Dan. 2 years later, DanShepherdMadeIt.com is selling custom rugs for kids.
Ooh.
This is in Los Angeles, Curdy B. So treat your little kids' feet to a DanShepherdMadeIt.com rug. Congrats,
oh, nice.
Dan. Thumbs up to you. And that's Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D. DanShepherdMadeIt.com. Get your kids a tufted rug for their little tootsies.
All right.
Jax Pohl, who sends lots of great stuff. Thanks, Jax Pohl, is shouting out the Pohl Academy for celebrating their 10-year anniversary. The Pohl Academy appears online to be a pole dancing workout studio, and they're having a huge weekend with vendors, workshops, and showcases in July. So Google the Pohl Academy. I believe they're in North Carolina, and I'm sorry if they're not. Sorry, Jax Pohl. Sunshine Saar wants to thumbs up. You're going to like this one, Kurt. Sunshine Saar wants to thumbs up the Green Adventure Project for becoming fully accredited. It's an outdoor school that teaches kids about traditional technologies, baking, using tools, apothecary, and has a huge focus on social, emotional development all in the woods. It's an outdoor school.
Where is this? Where is it?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
God damn it. It's always on the East Coast. If anybody knows of a primitive technologies kids school in the woods on the West Coast, please let me know. Actually, DM me at Kurt Brownoller, please. But this is right up my alley. This
Green
was my
Adventure
childhood.
Project. Yes. So you can Google it. They're accepting applications for next year. Again, this is in Charlottesville, Virginia. So just Google Green Adventure Project.
Nice. Thumbs up.
He's out in the woods.
Thumbs up. I want to do that for my kids.
Jennifer Fairbairn wants a thumbs up me in bonusode number 6. Our bonusodes, we give terrible to bananas advice that are just an excuse for us to goof off and have fun. And if anything good comes out of our bonusodes, it's just to have fun.
It's a bonusode, folks.
Yeah, it's free of charge. But I gave advice about preparing for something new when it can be scary. And I said that before I pitch TV shows or movies, I say out loud to myself, this is what you do, sometimes several times. And then I sit down and say, enter the Zoom, and I get to it. Jennifer says that she was applying for a promotion. She took Scotty's advice, telling herself, this is what you do. And she got the job.
Yeah.
Thank you for such great advice, Scotty. You're so welcome, Jennifer. It's
wonderful.
Just a way to focus and give yourself a little confidence. This is what you do. You're going to be great at it. Congrats. I mean, in a time where people are looking for jobs, good for you, Jennifer Fairbairn.
You know, that is so fantastic, because I doubt many people get help from most of our advice on the bonusodes, because it's supposed to be bananas advice. It's supposed to be just us goofing around. But it's nice that something cool came out of it. You know, people used to ask me if I got stage fright ever.
Sure.
And I learned this trick about stage fright. And it kind of really does work, is that like you just realize that stage fright is this kind of like energy that's making you nervous.
Yeah.
And instead you need to just you just decide that energy is making you excited.
Ooh.
It's just a little switch in like a pathway in your brain somewhere, and then all of a sudden you're just like, and you just start moving around like really excitedly.
Yeah.
And it like totally works. It like turns that nervousness into excitement, and then boom, you go out and you do
That's
whatever you need to do.
Great advice.
So I start punching the air or whatever, something like that, something dumb.
That's good. I mean, heck yeah. Well, that's cool. You can always send in any of your thumbs ups to the Bananas Podcast, or you can go to our website, bananaspodcast.com. And we've been getting a ton of submissions through there, so please do. It's a beautiful website made by the worldwide wonderful Tori Hemsath.
Hey, Mountain Lion. Made school go into lockdown, turned out to be fat cat eating rat. Now, there is not much more to this story.
Of course not.
Other than the headline.
Doesn't
this was, but it was sent in by someone, Scotty, and can I let you know who that
I
is?
I would love to know. I saw this one, too, in the DMs. It's a fun story.
A lot of people sent this in, but I first saw it from Cammy Sparkle. Cammy Sparkle, thank you.
good name.
It is basically what happened was the school just got someone called it in and said there's a mountain lion outside, and mm-hmm. it was a, you know, it's a school. There's like kindergartners around and stuff like that. So they shut down out of an abundance of cautions.
Yes,
of caution.
Too much, some would say.
And just turns out it's a fat cat eating a rat. But here's the crazy part.
Okay,
is. Because I was Googling, so fat cat eating a rat, quote, is a quote from...
It's a great quote.
Like the school. That's why it's in all the... But I Google fat cat mountain lion.
Okay.
And it is... You just Google fat cat mountain lion. It is filled with articles of people mistaking fat cats for mountain lions. This is, I would say it's an epidemic happening across our country. That people, uh-huh. I'm wondering if anyone knows what a mountain lion looks like.
Or a cat. It comes to a point where you go, you have to know what one of these two species looks like.
Like, I could understand maybe a bobcat, like,
sure.
being confused for, like, a normal, large house cat.
Of course.
A mountain lion is a very different beast in my mind.
It's a beast. Yeah, it is a much
larger animal.
And even the largest cats, I think they're Maine Coons, right? Or like those cats are humongous. Look nothing like a mountain lion. That's like nothing at all.
Do you remember that woman who brought the mountain lion into her house and was
yes.
living with it and just kept posting pictures of this cat is going crazy.
Yes, I do. That was so funny. It's like, well, it can't calm down. And then it's like, you have a puma in your house. It's so cool that she did that. I think my friend has a Maine Coon. I think my friend Megan has a Maine Coon. If I was going to get a cat, it would be a Maine Coon kitten. I want
yes.
a huge... Also, it's coyote country out here. If that thing gets out, I need something that stands a chance.
Yeah. Agreed. Maine Coons are cool. I think
They're
John
beautiful.
Daly's family had Maine Coons, if I'm not
They're
mistaken.
Beautiful.
I remember
They're
hanging
so
out with them.
It's basically a cat dog or a dog cat. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll end up getting one. Who knows? Maybe I'm talking myself into one as we speak.
And so anyway, what this got me thinking about, and this is a story that I've been meaning to do for forever...
Okay.
Is how many animal mayors of American towns have there been, Scotty?
I'll just, for the sake of humor, I'll say 200.
Yeah, there's not 200.
Okay.
Here's just a couple of them. This is from Business mm-hmm. Insider.
That's a sort
there's
of
Bosco, who is a black mm-hmm. Labrador Rottweiler, was mayor of Sunol, California from 1981 to 1994.
Good.
Lucy Liu, a border collie, was the first female mayor, oh Lord, of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. She served from 2008 to 2016. Rabbit Hash, I hope you have a human female mayor at some point as well.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Bryneth Paltrow.
Okay, now we're cooking with gas.
A pit bull succeeded Lucy Liu as mayor of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky in 2016, beating out a cat and a donkey. Wow. Okay. Rabbit Hash... still has a dog mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Max, a golden retriever, elected mayor of Idlewild, California in 2013.
Sure, that's close.
I'm going there soon. Duke, a Great Pyrenees, was first elected mayor of Cormorant Village, Minnesota in 2014.
Good. A good cold weather dog. Yeah,
yeah, and
Great
he's
Pyrenees.
All, he's all
dog.
White, and he wears a little black hat that says mayor. It's a good. It's
that's
a
good. That's all mayor. What? Yes. All mayors should be this.
Right. Pa Kettle, a bloodhound, was elected mayor of Divide, Colorado, 2014. Frida, female chihuahua, named mayor of San Francisco for one day in 2014. Give Frida a little more.
Give him a little more.
Gus Hall was elected as mayor of Coronado, California, 2018. I mean, I'm going to keep doing them. Parker the Snow Dog was sworn in as honorary mayor of Georgetown, Colorado, February 11th, 2019.
Oh, so recent. These are great.
Yeah. Wilbur, a six-month-old French bulldog, was elected mayor of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky in 2020. Rabbit Hash, it's got a lot of them. Other mm-hmm. notable animals mayors. Stubbs, a cat, the first cat mayor, was mayor of Talkeetna, Alaska for 20 years.
20 and years?
Lincoln, a Nubian goat, is the mayor of Fairhaven, Vermont. He's the town's first mayor and was elected in 2019. Also, Clay Henry IV, also a GOAT, is the mayor of Lajitas, Texas. He's the fourth generation to hold office. Oh, wow. Three GOATs. There's another GOAT. Edgewater, Chicago, Pax the GOAT, August 2019. Okay. All right. So if you have
all these animal mayors had to deal with the pandemic and lockdown. That is such a big responsibility for all these 2019. Oh, man. Their first year, they're just going to ease into it, fix some potholes, maybe paint a couple flagpoles, and then all of a sudden...
There's some anti-vaxxers out there going, and the mayor is just getting on top of things and standing. That's all he's doing.
Oh, that's a good idea. Why not?
Why not? Why not? If you have a small town that doesn't have a mayor, why not run an animal? Do it.
I think it's a great idea for... That's cool. What's your... Let's see. I mean, the one thing about some of those animals live 15 or 20 years. Like, why don't you just get a tortoise in there and have that thing outlast the whole town, go 100 years?
Yeah.
Take
I love
it easy.
That idea.
A nice slow tortoise mare.
Yeah. Right?
Heck yeah, dude. This one's from Mackenzie Eddy. Thank you, Mackenzie. She makes a lot of funny vids on her Instagram.
That's very funny.
This was on yahoo.com, written by the best in the biz, Joshua Zitzer.
Yes.
We've had a couple of reporters over the last 4 years be like, thank you so much for saying our names when you do. Like, we had one guy pretty recently being like, I usually hate news podcasts because you guys never credit anybody. And I'm like, brother, everybody's the best on the biz. And unless you're the mediumist in the biz.
Yeah. And also, sometimes it's more fun to be the mediumist in the biz.
Heck yeah. But Joshua Zitzer is for real the best in the biz when it comes to writing online content. A woman is marrying an AI hologram that's been trained by all of her past boyfriends.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. This is interesting.
I know. I knew you would like this
one. I'm interested, but also she broke up with all of them, or all of them broke up with her.
Yeah.
So it is interesting that you would just take those.
Hey, you got to kiss a lot of toads, you know?
I guess so. And then make a computer based on those toads you kissed.
Then make an AI prince. That's the new Disney DreamWorks Pixar movie. A Spanish-Dutch artist. Are you waving me off?
No.
You're just giving me a wave. Yes, Kurt.
Yeah.
You just want to see if it worked.
I just raised my hand and I got a hand raise thing.
Yeah, I got like a high five. Now we're just goofing on Zoom. A Spanish-Dutch artist is set to marry an AI hologram this summer, with the groundbreaking union ushering in a weird new era of human-robot relationships.
Okay.
Alicia Framis will marry her holographic partner. It looks like it's Alex, but it's A-I-L-E-X, so I'll say Alex because I don't know.
Alex.
I mean, Framis and Alex, that sounds like a buddy cop movie.
Framis? Framis is her name?
Alicia Framis.
Alicia and Alex?
Yeah, Alicia and Alex. Yeah, she did. She made it harder on herself than she needed to.
I'm Googling what Alex looks like.
Who was trained from the profile information of her previous romantic partners, according to a press release from the artist's publicity team. The press release said that the unconventional ceremony will take place at the Depot Boijmans van Benoogen Museum in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. I don't know what that word is. The ceremony will feature a unique ritual for the union between a human and an avatar. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
Guests will be served, quote, molecular food that can be enjoyed by both humans and humanoid entities.
What?
I mean, let's talk about the molecular open bar at this situation, because I'm not getting out there on fake drinks. Framis, the artist and bride, is designing her own dress and also the clothing for the entire wedding, including the guest. Framis said, the wedding represents a new generation of love where humans will be in relationships with holograms, avatars, and robots. While the wedding appears to be a form of performance art, sort of, Framis said it poses interesting questions about what a union with a holographic partner looks like. Quote, it's interesting how we can get a mortgage to buy a new car, and now we can have a mortgage to buy a new companion, end quote. That's a.
Do we have?
I wouldn't
to pay?
Have gone that way, but okay, we're going that way.
It is. It is strange. It also, it's like, are they going to be that expensive?
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought this would be kind of cheap.
Yeah, I would hope this is virtually free.
I'm looking at a picture of Alex.
Yeah.
Alex is
total stud.
He ain't a looker. No, he is not. Like, really? It's really just based on, like, I guess it's maybe like a morph of her other boyfriend's faces or whatever. But he's just kind of like a, you know, he's not in shape. He's just like an older dude. It looks like he's like
generous lover.
An older generous lover.
Very giving. She also questioned whether she could open a joint account with her partner, which is kind of interesting. That is kind of interesting. And what kind of insurance coverage they would need. Because the dude that bought my cabins created, DJ Skeet Skeet, created like virtual influencer. So that is interesting because it's like a virtual vlogger.
Yeah.
Does make money.
That does make money.
Brands. And so that is interesting if you could have a joint account with an avatar that made money. That's real. I mean, why wouldn't you be able to? But that is very interesting to me that you could have a fake, you could be married to, I mean, not even fake, a digital partner that generates money that you could
spend. Yeah, but also that also means that the AI would be able to spend the money as well, right? To maybe like buy
even better
to like buy itself some more server space if it wants to be able to do other stuff and whatnot.
You come home from the salt mines, you're exhausted, you sit down, you pour the last of your tomato soup out of your thermos into the little plastic mug that's on the top, and you're sipping it, and you check your accounts online, and your AI husband has spent all of your money, whole paycheck.
On sports betting.
Yeah, on virtual Crocs and sports betting. I mean, it is about to get so
crazy. Bananas. And then you look at his apartment, like online,
it's so dope.
And it's so dope. And you're like, you spent $20,000 on a rug for your digital house? And he's like, it's very nice. It's a nice rug.
Yeah, you have a stuffed marlin and a fold-out bed, a fold-out sofa in every room of your 10-room apartment.
We're so close to this because Olive and Gus play this game, which I would recommend to parents, Legends of Learning.
Okay.
Awakening.
Yeah.
And it's a math game, but it's essentially, I don't know how they exist. They just completely 100% ripped off what Pokemon are, but they call them beasties. Mm-hmm. And in order to battle your beasties, like you get beasties and battle them, you have to do math problems. And so it taught Olive how to like tell time on a clock already, you know.
Yeah.
She's not going to learn that, I think, until next year.
Yeah.
So you also make money or like whatever, you get diamonds or whatever when you like kill a beastie or defeat a beastie. Mm-hmm. And then they're obsessed with just buying like a dresser for their house and like a TV for their house. And it's
really?
Just like, what is it? I don't understand. I guess it's because they don't get to buy things yet, maybe. But like they kind of do, like they get money for like their birthday and whatnot. And then we can go to the Pokemon store and like they can, and I have them hold their own money, count it and like pay for if they want to buy a Pokemon card or something like that.
Wow.
But it's so weird. They're obsessed with like getting a better couch for their apartment in the video game, which doesn't make any sense to me. And that'll be the thing that I won't understand.
Yeah, but it'll make them more human that when you're bored, you spend. Bridger had a tweet that was like, you know, just another day of going to the grocery store for absolutely no reason. And it's like you do find yourself just like when you have nothing to do, sometimes you're like, at Amazon, of course, like all those,
yeah,
all online retail, you're just like, bored. I guess I'll buy some double-sided tape. And you're like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't your AI partner do the exact same thing?
Why not? Why not? Let them.
When I was, do you know Pokemon is for Pocket Monster? That's where the name Pokemon comes from.
I did not know that. Thank you.
That is true. So when I was doing, I rewrote and wrote a bunch of scenes for Detective Pikachu, the movie. And on the first day, there was a big round table where we all got the script the night before. And then we saw some clips of the movie. But we were able to look up sort of the different Pokemon that were in it. And the main villain in Detective Pikachu is a Pokemon named Mewtwo, which is like this cat, two-legged cat thing.
I know Mewtwo. I have so much Pokemon knowledge now that I've started to forget other more important knowledge from my past. Like, I can't remember my high school girlfriend's last name, but I know that Mewtwo can evolve. But there is a Mewtwo X or EX, and it's a larger Mewtwo. So, yeah, great. I have all that dumb info in there.
So it's like myself and like probably eight other screenwriters. And then the director, who's a really nice guy. And then the guy that one of the execs at Legendary, and they're, you know, they buy you lunch and you're just kind of hanging out. And it's, and they were like, okay, so like, before we get into specific scenes or changes or jokes, any overall thoughts on the script or the movie? Like, we all got kind of an early cut. And this one writer, and God bless him, he just raises his hands. He goes, yeah, I have a thought. So is Mewtwo's tail just his penis? Because it starts in the front. Is that what we're going with here? And then it was so funny because the director's like, well, Pokemon does mean pocket monster. And then all of us kind of look at the binders and look at Mewtwo and we're like, it does kind of look like his tail is his penis. And
I have never noticed that. I got to check it out.
You will now.
Because it does seem like it's just like the bottom of his body that just gets thinner and thinner, right?
Yeah, and then goes behind him and then it's sort of, you know, prehensile in its own way. But it set the tone for that day. So shockingly, I got hired to write scenes and not that writer. Anyway, she added, Framus added, artificial intelligence companions and humans can be beneficial option for people in need of companionship. This hologram will fulfill all my needs. According to the press release, Framus, who has posted videos of her cooking and eating with Alix or Alex, previously had relationship... previously had a relationship with a mannequin named Pierre. Somehow less weird, somehow weirder. Framus
somehow
claims,
much weirder.
Yeah, weird.
Like the mannequin is just, yeah, that's weirder. I mean, remember Mannequin and Mannequin 2 from the 80s? Yeah. I love those movies. I think just because they were on cable a lot.
We tried to get the rights to that at some point to switch it and make the guy the mannequin. Yeah. We tried to switch it. I think it was for Jillian Bell. But yeah, that movie will come back. Mannequin was fun. If you haven't seen it, just watch the trailer on YouTube.
They made Mannequin 2. That's the craziest part.
Yeah, the 80s were strange. In 2018, Framus claims she will be the first woman to marry a hologram. That's probably not true at this point. They've been around for a pretty long time. Framus claims to be the first woman. In 2018, Business Insider. Boy, they're just handling business all the time, aren't they?
They are. They are. They really are.
It's nothing but brass tacks business over at Business Insider. Boy. In 2018, Business Insider reported a Japanese man who married a virtual reality singer. None of his family attended that wedding ceremony.
I think we might have even posted about that or covered it. Yeah. Oh, no, it was 2018. Well,
yeah, before our time. We get old stories. The weirdest part of all this to me, and this is sort of putting the cart way before the AI horse, is like, what happens when she falls out of love? If she falls out of love with
this
AI partner.
Does she delete him?
That's, I literally wrote on my paper, do you delete him?
Yeah, do
That's
you delete him?
That's some real Black Mirror stuff.
Right, because at what point do you, like... Well, my question always about like ChatGPT and stuff like that is when people are not asking it questions, is it thinking? That's my, and I don't think it is. I think it only, it's like input only generative, but the answers are so complex that it, I don't know. You know, that's the part where it's like, once they do that, then that, I think that'll be the thing where it's, we have a thing that just is an animal.
Yeah. I mean, when I watched Ex Machina and then I watched that newer Blade Runner and they both kind of, one falls in love with basically a robot and the other one has, Ryan Gosling's character in Blade Runner has like an AI that's at home.
Yeah.
I was like, I get it. Like that, I think it'll be good for some people.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of lonely people. You know, there's all, all these... Reddit is obsessed with like how lonely men are right now and how they're unable to express their emotions. It's like, I can't be 100% against this.
Oh, no.
I think it could help a lot of people express themselves and have companionship.
Yeah, definitely.
Not be lonely.
Also, it will lead to the extinction of the human race.
True. True.
Here's a perfect person at home for you that you can't have a child with. Yeah.
I got stuck in this interesting situation, it was about 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, where, and I may have mentioned this briefly before, but I knew this woman, and she was totally just an acquaintance, somebody I met in social events passing a couple of times, and she reached out to me and was like, hey, I'm writing a book where I'm dating 12 men for a year, so everybody gets 4 weeks. I'm dating 12 different guys for a month each, and I have a different relationship to all of them. So one is somebody I used to date. One is somebody I know, a best friend. One is somebody I'm going to meet on Tinder, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was number 4 or 5. But I was an acquaintance, somebody that she just knew of.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, would you want to date me for a month? And I had come out of a pretty long relationship that had ended kind of shittily. So I was like, date you for 4 weeks? This could not be more perfect.
I know, right?
It was, to have that time stamp on it was she was like, oh, great, you'll be chapter 4. And then I was like, yeah, and you can ask questions or whatever. And I was like, do you say our names? And she was like, I can use a fake name for you. I can just say guy number 5 or whatever. Uh-huh. And I was like, you could say Scotty, it's fine, but don't use my last name. And there were no photos or anything. So anyways, I agreed. And we the second day into the 4 weeks, we went on a date and we had fun. We just went to a movie and then we went out. And it was really fun. It was a very great thing coming out of a bad breakup to just have this control over a relationship, where normally you go, where's this going? What does this mean? And then what happened was around week 4, she was like, we don't have to stop dating. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, this is fun. I really like this. I was like, yeah, we're having a great time. I was like, but this is kind of like your rules. Like you put a finish line on this.
Also,
thing.
I was excited about those rules.
Yeah. And we had data. We were hooking up and it was fun. And she was like, well, I can just push the next guy farther back. And I was like, no. I was like, no. Because to me, the rules in place were 4 weeks and then you're out and then it'll be a funny chapter. And so we did a lot of fun stuff. So on the last day, we went down to this beach down near Laguna or Newport. And she was like, I think I should just stop writing this book. And that you and I should be together. And I had to be I don't agree. I wasn't getting invested.
Uh-huh.
Because
it was there were parameters. There was her rules.
So we kept in touch. I mean, we were friendly, but I could tell she was bummed out about it. She was having fun. But then I found out that later she never ended up finishing the book. The guy before me was in love with her, loved her. And so it became
oh my
this thing
God.
Where you're like, and there was an
she's hurting
around.
Herself.
Yes.
She's hurting other people. It just seems, wow. But this is why this book needs to exist.
I know.
That's why this would make a good book.
Years went by and we didn't really hang out. We were acquaintances before and we kind of just slid back into acquaintances after. And so years went by without me seeing her. And I Googled her to see if that book came out.
Yeah.
I didn't know if she was mad at me or what had happened. And I found an interview of her talking about it, and she stopped after the guy after me, so 5 or 6. And I think she got a broken heart, and I think she realized she was breaking hearts, and so she never finished it. She had a book advance. She was writing this book.
Whoa. She had a book advance? She paid back the book advance?
I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but I know that she never finished the book. And I still think about it was very strange. So when I hear about these AI and when we were just saying do you just delete the person when it's done? It's weird to have the control to just cut it off and then delete it like it never happened. All these people could have weird, in a way it's a secret relationship besides me talking on a podcast, but it was a weird secret moment where I was like, this is really great. And then in my mind, it was done. It was just stopped.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating thing that the human gets to continue on with the memory of it, but then the AI partner could just get deleted?
That's crazy.
It's weird. It's deep and strange.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And also, that means you could dial up a AI one-night stand.
Oh, dude, I'm sure that's already happening. I mean, yeah. It's got
so crazy.
I know.
Well, folks, the future is dystopian, but here at Bananas, it's a utopia. It's a bananatopia, yeah, right. Folks.
We're just laughing and laughing at it because that's all you can do. And we can celebrate how weird it is.
You can't make it not happen.
No, sir.
Scotty, thank you so much for another delightful Bananas.
Congrats on your March Madness success. Hey, if you see Curdy B, send us pics of your TV screen. I want to see that pretty face. And thank you to all the beautiful Bananimals out there and to our wonderful staff at Exactly Right, the Benevolent Overlords, Lisa Magid, M-A-G-I-D, Bananas. Bananas is an Exactly Right Media production.
Our producer and engineer is Katie Levine.
The catchy Bananas theme song was composed and performed by Kahan.
Artwork for Bananas was designed by Travis Millard.
And our benevolent overlords are the great Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
And Lisa Magid is our full human, not a robot intern.
Bananas.